Forget ER, Nurse Jackie, and Grey's Anatomy. And face it, St. Elsewhere doesn't have a prayer. Hi, I'm John Schwanis, and yes, this is Indiana Lawmakers. Now, I'm not a doctor, I don't even play one on TV, but this week's show promises to be a medical thriller inspired by true events. Specialists will collide over diagnoses, prognoses, and treatments. Some will argue that aggressive measures are needed, stat, while others warn of unintended consequences that could prove fatal. The patients in question are everyday Hoosiers, and their collective malady is back-breaking healthcare costs. I invite you to scrub in for some level one drama. Indiana Lawmakers, from the State House to your house. Frustrated by the apparent failure of past attempts to contain health care costs, Indiana lawmakers are weighing various potential remedies this session. What is the right approach? An increased emphasis on pharmacy expense management? The promotion of greater provider competition? The assessment of penalties against hospitals that charge more than the national average? Or something altogether different? We'll get a second opinion, as well as a first, third, and fourth, from our very knowledgeable, very outspoken panel. Democratic Senator Jean Brough of Indianapolis, ranking minority member of the Senate Committee on Health and Provider Services. Michael Hicks, distinguished professor and director of the Center for Business and Economic Research at Ball State University. Brian Tabor, president of the Indiana Hospital Association. And Matt Bell, a former state representative who now serves as chief policy analyst for Hoosiers for Affordable Health Care. Buckle up. I think this is going to be a lively discussion. Now, I'm under no illusion that we can agree, all of us, that how we got in this situation as a state. And I'm sure we're not going to agree on how to get out of whatever predicament, if we in fact are in a predicament. Can we agree at least, Michael Hicks, on where we are vis-a-vis other states? Are we, as some studies have suggested, paying a lot more than folks in other states?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think there's any doubt in the evidence we have. Again, you know, my work by RAND, work Cal Berkeley, that the legislature paid for. We have academic work out of Harvard, Princeton, Yale, that all suggest that we're amongst the very top in terms of cost per person here in expending for health care and the individual prices that we're paying for an individual service. It's not just that we're buying a lot of health care, right, which would be an argument that there are sicker people here in Indiana. It's that the prices we're paying for individual services are among the highest, and we have probably the highest priced metro area in the country, and that's in Fort Wayne.
And in some cases, if you look at neighboring states, because I think you would argue we're number one in a bad way in the Midwest, maybe about half of what the cost for certain types of hospitalization or procedures would be in our neighbors to the north, in Michigan.
Right, but even within our state, if you go from the area that I'm in, which is a perfect monopoly, 10,000 HHI, all the health care facilities are owned by one provider, and it's about $21,000 to have a natural delivery there. You drive across the border into the most relaxed, the most competitive area, and it drops to $6,000 or $7,000 to have that same procedure there. So it's really driven by a monopoly problem. That's the primary cost problem for hospitals. There are other issues as well. We're going to hear that Hoosiers are sicker than other folks. We're going to hear, which is true, we're going to hear that we don't spend enough on public health. 100% true. But and we're going to hear that there's not enough insurers or not enough competition in pharmacies. All of those are partially true. The big constraining problem is monopoly power within hospitals that makes everything else sort of swim down to second order effects.
We could say money and just had you as the sole guest, because you're going to make the other arguments and then knock them down. This is pretty good. I know Brian Tabor's going to want to get in on this, too, because you may quibble with some of the numbers. But let me ask you, aside from all the data points and all of the university researches, you and your colleagues in the General Assembly have some polling data that you like to pay attention to, which is your mailbox and your phone line. Are constituents feeling a pinch here, as far as you're concerned?
Yes, constituents are saying that they don't understand the we're how you arrive at the cost. Now, we have made some provisions with some transparency where there are some good faith efforts that estimates that hospitals make that will help consumers, supposedly help consumers make better health care choices, but I'm not quite sure how clear that is. And
Even done back in 2020, right?
That was done back in 2020. And I think it was a CMS requirement, but I'm not so sure just how much it truly does factor in to the decision making or the understanding of healthcare and how healthcare costs are arrived at here in our state. Now, I'll let you ask your question before I go back and forth.
No.
I do agree with Professor Hicks that all the studies do indicate that the cost of healthcare in Indiana in terms of what we pay is too high. But I have to say that is it all because of market concentration and consolidations and acquisitions of hospitals, or does that have a lot to do with the health of Hoosiers and our per capita spend on the health of Hoosiers and pharmacy and just a whole host of other kind of contributing factors that I think need to be taken into consideration.
Brian Tabor from the Hospital Association. I'm just getting all the ammunition on the table so then you can kind of save time and knock it down as far as...
Ready.
Matt Bell, at the risk of piling on here, you represent Hoosiers for Affordable Care,
been around
for 3 or 4 years. People who are, by all accounts, loyal Republicans who typically sort of leave the marketplace to itself, but you all have seen fit to weigh into this issue in a pretty dramatic way. Lots of statistics that you and your organization have put forth. One that caught my attention is you suggested that if hospitals here simply went to the national average, that Hoosiers families would save,
$2,500 a year.
A year.
Mm-hmm. And that's meaningful to families across the state of Indiana, and that's what makes the situation today so untenable for Senator Breaux's constituents and for Hoosiers across communities all over the state. There'll be an analysis released this weekend that shows that if we lowered the prices of Indiana's not-for-profit hospitals to the national average, would save $2 billion a year. And even among the big five hospital systems, that would represent about $1.65 billion worth of that savings. That would still leave our hospitals almost twice as profitable as not-for-profit hospitals across the country, cutting margins from something like 18% to 8%. $2 billion going back into the pockets of Hoosier employers, Hoosier policy owners, unleashes an economy and allows families to make better decisions with their resources.
Now, if Brian Tabor had been hooked up to a blood pressure cuff during this thing, I could have looked down at the meter and seen it probably going through the roof. I'm guessing there is a lot here that's been put forth that you would quibble with either in terms of the philosophy or the facts.
Yeah.
Let's start with the data. Is that fair data, or do you think this is old data? It can't be trusted. Where do we stand? Can we agree that this is an expensive place to get health care?
I think what I would say first is that health care affordability is a serious issue for Hoosiers. It's a serious issue across the country. And our members are committed to addressing it. We've seen significant announcements from some of our health systems taking major steps towards affordability.
IU Health, which is the biggest, certainly after under pressure from the House Speaker and the President pro tem, said they would freeze them at their current levels through 2025. They would argue, I'm going to let you talk, really, that it's already so high.
I hope so. I need to address, one of the examples that Dr. Hicks gave is a very outdated example, and it's one of the things where I do feel that while we have to address healthcare affordability, we have to stop conflating some of the results of something like a RAND study that looks at unit price and whether or not Indiana is an outlier in healthcare costs. Some of the same studies that Dr. Hicks referenced actually show, including the one that was done for the General Assembly, that if you look at commercial health spending in Indiana compared to the rest of the country, we are right around the national average, below other neighboring states. The Petra Center, the Berkeley Center study that was referenced, a different study they did, says the same thing. We can look at the premiums that are paid by employers. They are close to the national average, in some cases below and right around our neighboring states. So what we have to do is take a more holistic view of the total spend. You can't just look at a pricing study and say that means that Indiana's health care expenditures on a per-person basis are an outlier,
so
because they're not.
You think those are the data that are on the table, you would quibble with those, mind the solution.
I think the data is often conflated and used in a way to advance an agenda, but I will not, but absolutely acknowledge that healthcare spending overall is an issue that we have to tackle as a state and as a country, and our members are at the table right now with the General Assembly saying we want to do our part, but it needs to be a holistic solution that includes pharmacy, that includes investing in public health. And I think if we have that holistic approach, we can make good progress as a state.
Now, Michael Hicks, I've read in some of your columns, you've suggested that this very notion that this is a complex proposition, that you can't really sort of, you got to take a little bit here, a little bit there. It's just kind of, you've got to have a lot of mental capacity. You said it really is as simple as buying a car or an appliance or TV. Is that an exaggeration?
No. The notion that the transparency activities are done in good faith, I think, is a sham argument. So if the hospitals wanted you to know how much it costs to have a knee replacement, they'd have a sign right there just like they do in their coffee shop or their gift shop. Fact is that, let's say, having a knee replacement in Indiana or anywhere else requires maybe 1,000 different component parts, all the way from the sandwich you get at lunch the next day, the artificial knee made in Kosciuszko County, to the physician inputs. And we don't know how much that costs. You can't find that easily on the transparency portal. I know no Hoosier. I ask people all the time, have you been to the transparency portal? Where's that? I can't find it. If you want to buy a car, you walk into the car, you could walk into Honda and you say, how much is that Honda Civic? And they'll tell you exactly. There are 30,000 parts there produced in 60 countries that cross borders four or five times. The notion that this is a good faith transparency issue is nonsense. They would have that posted everywhere. They would send it to you. They do in dental offices. By the way, I went to the dentist yesterday. They give you a perfect bill. Why? Because there's not that co-insurance issue that masks this. So this is really part of the anti-competitive problem that we don't know what prices are. And I just say that the data are really unambiguous. We know how much people spend in Indiana on health care. It's a national outlier. The question that he gives on the pricing issues, the prices, he's never going to like the RAND studies. We're about to have RAND 5.0. He's going to say, oh, that's too late. You could have that data for you tomorrow. Your hospitals are doing pricing analysis of individual physicians on a weekly or monthly basis to say if they're above or below where they need to be in terms of patient load. And you're saying that the data that you're providing for the RAND study is too late? That's just nonsense.
I'm going to let you. All right, go ahead and respond.
Indiana has been acknowledged as being one of the most transparent states when it comes to pricing. There are the federal rules that Senator Breaux referenced, the good work that the General Assembly did in 2020 is having an impact.
So you're saying the data from the 2020 statute that was enacted, that database and so forth, is there if people avail themselves to it?
Yes, absolutely. We're actually starting to see that come out from the insurance companies. They've been a bit slower to publish their data. But there are some fundamental differences in healthcare. As an economist, I would think that Dr. Hicks would understand the difference between a product and a service. There are some elements of shoppable healthcare, which for right now individuals can get easily, imaging services and others. But I have an individual in my family that has a very serious medical condition, going through that right now as a patient. And it's been complex. It's been really a journey in healthcare. Each individual is different. Human beings are not televisions or cars. And so when it comes to healthcare, there are some intrinsic differences about it that do make it somewhat different. But that being said, hospitals across Indiana are essentially fully compliant with those rules. We work with patients every day to understand, to give them good faith estimates of what their care will be. And we have an excellent track record when it comes to transparency.
How about that, Matt? Bill, I mean, if those data do exist somewhere, how much of the burden falls on the consumer who says, and I've seen this talked about too, hey, I have employer-provided health insurance, and I've met my deductible. So beyond that, I don't care. It's all the same. It's a wash to me. It's free, essentially. It's free. How much of the burden lies on resides with the consumer?
So the good news about Indiana's hospitals being transparent is that it's easier for Hoosiers to find out exactly how high prices are, and that's the data that they're discovering when, in those rare cases, to Dr. Hicks' point, they do take advantage of the transparency portal. It is a good window into cost. Healthcare and hospital care is not a free market. It doesn't operate like a free market, and it never will. It can't because of the presence of a third-party payer in the mix, as you mentioned. It's difficult, and I think business holds should be held to account because they have not insisted on more aggressive work from third-party payers or hospitals to keep costs in line.
Well, in some times they were actually denied access to those, or there were gag rules and so forth that they couldn't even access their own data.
No question, that were taken care of in 2020 a little bit. But, you know, I mean, listen, take a look at our system in Indiana. 60% of Hoosiers live within 1 hour's driving distance of an IU health facility. Anthem has a market share of about 60% here in the state. Those two are codependent. Their profits depend on each other. Who is possibly going to negotiate for lower rates for a patient when those two profit together based on higher prices? That's the situation.
You're saying they're essentially partners in crime,
I'm saying
or at least aiding a codependent. Well, what about the senator? I mean, Indianapolis, your district is flush with hospitals, lots of choices. Presuming you don't have in-network requirements, you can only go here if your insurance provides that. But there are 17 of 92 counties that don't have any hospitals, and there's a threat of some closing in other communities. How realistic, I mean, with all the transparency that may or may not be there and readily available to the consumer, is that the solution or is that just
Well, to me, I think the transparency helps with the negotiation between the insurer and the hospital.
Mm-hmm. So it's more on the B2B.
I think that transparency allows them during the negotiation to know what the prices are and to be able to negotiate better contracts. Now, I don't know that consumers have availed themselves necessarily so much of the what's out there, the information that's out there, or even how to use it. And that's probably our fault in that we've not marketed it sufficiently enough to educate folks that there is information out there. You can ask for an estimate and receive an estimate before your procedure. So, I think that there are ways that we could perhaps boost that. But, you know, my concern is, and I see you're trying to get there, but my concern is that what you said, we're flush here in Marion County with hospitals and that are competitive, and I think that's important. But I think in rural communities, in Muncie, as he said, they have 100% of the market. Perhaps that makes sense because rural communities can't sustain a network of hospitals as in Indianapolis.
And Brian, you've suggested that the legislation enacted 3 years ago just hasn't had time to really take mm-hmm. effect, that the transparency measures are going to produce the results. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just give it time.
Right. Well, so I do disagree with one of the points that Mr. Bell made about...
All of the points that Mr. Bell... But go ahead.
No, actually, I agree that there needs to be more accountability for insurers, and I think employers need to demand more of that. I think getting employers more involved with how they purchase health care. Our members are very hungry to work directly with employers and actually work around the insurers in many cases. But I want to talk, Dr. Hicks mentioned Fort Wayne before, so Mr. Bell's clients originally said, you know, we need transparency because that is going to kind of unleash the free market. We need transparency. There's been a bit of a shift now to say, well, the free market would never work, so we have to now not let transparency work and move to more heavy-handed measures. But what I find interesting, one of the consultants for Mr. Bell's client, a guy named Brian Blaze, who developed some of the early policy proposals for the group, has written a book. One of the things he noted in that was that price transparency, coming from RAND and other directions, the price transparency drove negotiations in Fort Wayne between Parkview Health and Anthem. And that resulted in both sides have acknowledged hundreds of millions of dollars in savings. That happened in 2020. So yes, what I would say is the RAND studies that we are looking at today, their data is as old as 2018, excuse me. It does not take that into account. So we see people that are advisors to Hoosiers for Affordable Healthcare saying publicly in their books and their messaging. This is working in the market. And so I think we have evidence of that that demonstrates that we should not act rashly and we should embrace transparency.
And I want to make sure, I mean, we could get undoubtedly hung up on any of these points.
Sure.
And if we had hours, we would. But I do want to make sure we address some of the other proposals or suggested remedies in addition to transparency. We focused on transparency.
Right.
Let's talk about this notion of monopolies. You're not shy with your prose in your column. You've talked about this being comparing these folks to robber barons during the Gilded Age in terms
yes,
of
that's
the,
what you said.
And John Rockefeller. I mean, is it so? If it's monopolies, talk about what needs to happen to break that. We're talking about the notion that physicians can't be forced into non-compete agreements, or that they should be incentivized to set up their own independent practice. What do you want to see happen to break this up?
Right. So just to go through the data, we range from monopolies that the U.S. Department of Justice said never should have got there if we'd enforced antitrust laws from 1913 and 1890. Right, so we really are talking about robber baron. The classic comparison of this healthcare situation is Standard Oil in 1911. They bought all their upstream providers. So IU Health is buying physicians' offices.
Testing facilities. That's your argument. The vertical integration.
And downstream where they're buying clinics, right? And then in my market, Muncie, it's horizontal integration. They bought the three hospitals in East Central Indiana. And so I'm looking at Affordable Care Act region. I know the Hospital Association likes to define these marketplaces about a five-hour drive in any direction, but the federal government disagrees. So the point is that this monopoly power means that even if you have multiple insurers, it doesn't matter. You got one hospital there, they're going to price what they want. And so some of the things that the legislature is suggesting would be decouple them, right? Let's eliminate the non-compete.
So
but that's
physicians
not,
can do their own thing. Right. They can even set up their own testing labs, for instance,
right,
and be incentivized through tax credits.
Right.
Maybe.
So you can't go, can I just finish? You can't go to a physician in my small town in Muncie and then go to Anderson to another hospital because that's an IU health. It's virtually impossible to find a non-IU health.
But you would love to see, and I think
yes.
Matt Bell would say this too, do away with the pre-authorization or the notion that referrals have to go into certain networks. Again, it's that notion of another option would be doing away with facility fees, which Senator Burrow, if you could pick any of these, what's the silver bullet as far as you're concerned? Is it pharmacy cost transparency, which we don't really
well,
have
know,
at this
I,
point now
say,
in terms of markup?
I'm going to say it's a holistic view of the system. We need to understand really all the components. And I think what we do in the General Assembly is we attack individual ones that the non-compete, for example, presumably that's going to lower health care costs because you will have doctors that don't have to move out of state, but I'm thinking that there are other components to the non-compete, but I'm thinking that it actually will result in higher prices because there will be more competition for these physicians, and that's going to then result in the highest bidder, which raises costs. So, you know, I think there's a counterpoint to each one of these initiatives.
Is that the case? And then don't worry, Brian, we're going to get to, because we're quickly running out
no,
of time.
No, I would disagree with Senator Breaux on that. I think when the Biden administration proposed a rule to eliminate non-compete agreements, they estimated it would save $148 billion a year in health care costs across the country. That's the Biden administration's prediction, even though their rule won't apply to not-for-profit hospitals, interestingly. It is 8 to 10 months today to get a primary care physician appointment in Bloomington, Indiana, who shares the name Indiana University and IU Health. 8 to 10 months. And that's because physicians have been unhappy. They have left that community. And because of the structure of their non-compete, their option is to move out of the state. We absolutely need more access. It's a question of access. And it's a question of doing what's right for patients and physicians by allowing them the freedom to practice where they want. But I will tell you what, nothing is going to fix.
You can't filibuster.
Transparency.
We're going to give him a chance to.
Transparency can't fix this problem. The IBJ ran an article a week ago that listed the 11 most expensive construction projects ongoing in the market. Three of those were IU Health projects, totaling $4.8 billion of a total $11.6 billion.
There goes the pressure cuff.
I'm not sure how we got from transparency
right,
to that.
But
no. So it's interesting. One of the we've talked about. Dr. X talked about vertical integration. We talked about non-competes in this idea that it's going to address the physician shortage. I think as an economist, you would acknowledge that, you know, market incentives are ultimately, right, what drive outcomes. There's a lot of talk about the RAND study, very little talk about what the RAND study showed with how physicians are paid by insurance companies in Indiana. Indiana is a difficult state to recruit physicians to. We don't have mountains.
Well,
we don't have
lowest,
beaches.
They are
fourth
in terms of reimbursement?
Fourth lowest.
Just almost the opposite
in the nation.
Of hospital reimbursement.
So for independent physicians, the insurance markets, the insurance companies have created an environment where it is almost impossible for an independent physician. Dr. Hicks's comments would suggest that somehow that IU Health or other systems go in the middle of the night and sort of capture, take over these rural hospitals. They are struggling. Being part of a system allows them to survive. And it's the
exactly.
same thing for physicians. Physicians come to the hospital and say, we cannot make it as an independent physician. And so we ask to be employed by the hospital. And when you look at vertical integration, the largest physician organization in the country now is owned by an insurance company, United Health Optum. 60,000 doctors, 6% of the national physicians. So if we want to help independent physicians, we need to hold insurance companies accountable to pay them fairly.
All right. Listen, you may have gotten to talk last, but I mean, wait for everybody else, but you did get to talk last. So
okay,
thank
sure.
you. I can't believe we're out of time because we've barely scratched the surface.
We
Not
should
even
do it again.
PR visit would take care of that scratch. Thank you all very much. I
thank
appreciate
you.
The knowledge you've brought to this and the obvious mm-hmm. passion. Again, my guests have been Democratic Senator Gene Brough of Indianapolis, Michael Hicks of Ball State University Center for Business and Economic Research, Brian Tabor of the Indiana Hospital Association, and Matt Bell of Hoosiers for Affordable Health Care. And time now for our weekly conversation with Indiana lawmakers commentator Ed Feigenbaum, publisher of the newsletter Indiana Legislative Insight, part of HANA News Service. Ed, let's talk about the politics of this. How does this break down? I mean, we had Republicans fighting Republicans, a Democrat who was sort of in the middle, sees merit on both sides. Explain this to me. How does this divide break?
There's politics involved in the
healthcare
cost debate. Yes. What's interesting about this one, John, is that this really came from the Republican leadership in the House and the Senate. They went to the hospitals and said, and this was a year ago, and said, you know, your costs are just way too high and you need to do something or we're going to intervene. And nobody really took them all that seriously with that first letter, and I think they were a little bit
disappointed. They put a date on it. It had to be by 2025, right?
But they wanted a response immediately.
Right.
And there were only a couple of hospital systems that responded, and I think the leaders thought that some of the responses were a little bit patronizing. So they came back, and one of the House Republican Conference agenda bills this year was a cost containment bill. So
those low number bills. You can tell the ones that are going to be on rails.
Yeah. They were serious about things, and you know we're seeing the hospitals try and respond, IU Health in particular, but some thought that was a little bit too cute a response the way that they did with distributing some of the money back to the university as opposed to elsewhere.
A little bit, like $416 million, but yeah, I guess it's all relative. I mean, how does this play in the end? Since it's not an R versus D, we can't assume that just because there are supermajorities of Republicans, it's not that simple. I don't know if it's rural, urban, or it simply comes down to whose hospitals are going to be hit the hardest. Where does this go this session? I mean,
this session probably nowhere. I think we're going to see some more work in the interim study committees on this. But you know, it's not really even though you would think it would be, it's not really something that's all that salient to the Hoosier populace writ large. All they see are all these commercials advertising these services for every regional hospital and. They don't think about this every day.
Of course, some hospitals say they're on the ropes, they might go under. Would another year give evidence of that they weren't crying wolf, or would it? How does that play?
And even if they did, there are others to pick up the slack.
All right. Ed, as always, appreciate your insight.
Thank you, John.
Indiana's school voucher program started out as a way to help disadvantaged kids get a quality education. Now the program might be open to families making well over six figures. What's the lesson? We'll discuss on the next Indiana Lawmakers. Until next week, take care.